RNZ National, it's Friday afternoon. Time for Critter of the Week. I'm joined by Nicola Tookie from Forest and Birds. Hi, Nicola.
Ahiahi marie.
The famous Nicola Tookie.
Well,
of all the people who didn't have time for amateur dramatics, you'd be top of my list. But you are starring in a local production.
Well, I'm a character in a local production. Yes, I am. Last year I went to spy on the neighbours who were auditioning across the road for Monty Python's Spamalot by the Hurunui Theatre Group, because it's just across the road in our local community hall. And I thought, well, I knew when the auditions were on, I thought, well, if I just go over and like sneak in the back of the hall and have a wee look, I can see who's all, you know, auditioning. And consequently, I ended up auditioning, and then consequently, I got a part. And that was fine. And then in August last year, we were due to do the production, and then we had a COVID lockdown, and so the whole thing got postponed. So I went along about 6 weeks ago to tell the Hurunui Theatre Group that I could no longer be in Spamalot because obviously I had a bit on. And about 40 minutes later, found myself up on stage doing a number and thinking, this didn't play well.
Well, what a chance to see Nicola Tookie treading the boards. Probably might be the final chance, because I'm sure you'll be much better at saying no next time.
This is my lesson on saying no. However, of all the plays to do, Spamalot is it's written by Eric Idle, it's Monty Python, and it is the musical, or loosely based on, The Holy Grail, which was probably my favourite Monty Python movie as a kid, and I am privileged to play the part of the brave Sir Robin, who is not brave by any stretch of the imagination. I'm really excited actually, and it's a really cool cast, and it's all just kind of local farmers and teachers and various others, and the one good thing is, because there's lots and lots and lots of rehearsals, and it gets really exhausting, and it's quite physical. There's a lot of singing and dancing sometimes at the same time, but it's so funny, and we've done, you know, we've obviously practiced dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It doesn't matter how many times we have a rehearsal, I still fall about laughing. In fact, two nights ago we had a rehearsal and for a number that I wasn't in, and I was watching from down in the audience, and I cried from laughter. So
It's called corpsing. Jimmy Fallon did it all the time when he was on Saturday Night Live, just being unable to keep a straight face.
It's so hard, right? It's so hard. So I highly recommend it, not just because, you know, you might get to see the face behind the radio woman, but also because it is a neat cast and a really funny production, and it starts next week. And we have a couple of weeks worth of performances. So if you're in the hood, by all means, get some tickets and come along, because I will personally guarantee that you cannot watch this and not laugh.
And form an orderly line at the stage door after the show for autographs, please. Hey, while we're plugging things, I just want to give one more plug to our little competition we're running on afternoons today. We're challenging our audience to have a go at the Animal Tracks app on the Hey Hey website. It's a kids' game, but we want you to have a go at it. Basically, they've supplied you with all sorts of different New Zealand native animal sounds, and you have to create your own beat. And it is so, so cool. And all the ones we've received so far have been brilliant, but we're giving away a Critter of the Week tote bag from Joya and some of their Common Good coffee to the best one. So you got until the end of Sunday to have a go. You have a go. You and Hunter should have a go as well, Nicola.
Oh, we definitely will. Someone sent it to me on social media or copied me into something on whatever the young people do these days. And it looked really, really cool. And Hunter at the moment is very into music. In fact, So I have these friends with kids that have got really kind of useful, transferable, money-making, potentially in the future skills. Yeah. Like I have a friend whose little boy from 5 years old has been part of like the Canterbury golf team, you know, and plays against 14-year-olds and wins all kinds of prizes. Goodness. Hunter's skill is out of nowhere. He's a really good beatboxer. He does beatboxing with like music underneath. I don't quite know how he does. He's like a Tui with two voice boxes. I think he'll be right into it.
Great. Let me know. And everyone else, have a go over the weekend, but get it in by Sunday to be in to win. Let's go to today's Critter of the Week. This is a beautiful one. Looks like something you'd find at an arts and crafts market, Nicola.
I love this week's Critter of the Week, and it is one that I have personally experienced, so that's always a bonus. This week's critter is the basket fungus, or Tutai Kehua. It has lots of names, actually. The scientific name is Iliodictyon siberium, in case that's how you describe it. And it is one of our many species of fungus in New Zealand that, when it kind of pops out its fruiting body, just looks like a little white. Do you know what it looks like? It looks like if a soccer ball had a skeleton, that's what it would be.
Yes, well done. Well done. Yep.
Yeah. So the spaces in between. And it's really interesting because Māori had more than 30 different names for this particular fungus because, and presumably that's because it was so widespread and well known. So Tutai Kehua, many of you will probably know what Tutai means, but if you don't, it means poo. My notes say droppings, but I would say poo.
Yeah.
And a Kehua is a ghost, so, you know,
ghost poos. Ghost poos.
Which I love. Another name is Whariatua, which translates to house of the devil, which kind of makes sense, right? If you see one kind of pop up in your backyard or in the forest, they do look like a creepy little house for,
I should say, as always, there's a picture on the website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse, if anyone wants to see what we're talking about as we describe it.
Yeah, but other names, this will be a good challenge for my enunciation, given my upcoming treading of the boards.
Yes.
Other Māori names include, are you ready? Tūtai Whatitiri, Kō Kirikiri Whetu, Kō Pura Whetu, Korokoro Whetu, Whetirau, Pōpō Whaitiri, Tiko Whaita, oh, damn it. Tiko Whatitiri. I got all
that was
the way
my favourite part. damn it!
Paru Whatitiri, Mata Kupinga, and Tūtai Whetu, which presumably means star poos. Many of the names you would have heard just then refer to Whaitiri, which is the atua or the personification of thunder. And that's because people notice that the fungus appears after thunderstorms, right? And so it's kind of also why it's known as thunder poos or the dung of thunder, because it's actually quite stinky and it can appear after a storm. People love Tūtai Kehua. Have you seen it?
No, only in the photos you've sent me.
Oh, it's so cool. I remember probably about 10 or more years ago, my mum was living in Portobello, Indonesia, and she rang me. And she was like all breathless with excitement, and she was going, there's an alien in my backyard. And because one of these had popped out in her backyard, and we both did a bit of Googling to try and figure out what it was. But people love it. So in 2018, Manaaki Whenua Lankia Research ran a fungi of the year competition, and Tūtai Kehua came second. And you know, only beaten out by that blue fungi that's on our $50 note.
Yeah.
Whose name I've forgotten that we
talked
about.
The old
before.
Fungus of the year didn't quite lift off like Bird of the Year did, but shout out to Manaaki Whenua for giving it a good go.
Yeah, absolutely. But what's really interesting, and I've seen this as well, is it starts its life, and this is why my mum thought that it was an alien, because I think she saw this part happen. So it starts its life as like an egg-shaped type ball, and then the fruiting body, the basket, kind of bursts out of it and then sort of props itself up as its soccer ball skeleton basket shape, which is kind of really interesting. So it's got weirdness all around. It's a saprophytic fungus, which means it decomposes things. So it breaks down organic matter to make energy. And it's in the same kind of group as stinkhorn fungus. And we've talked about stinkhorn fungi before, but it doesn't really appear like a horn. It appears like a cage, like a skeleton ball. And there used to be, I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be a playground piece of play equipment in the Botanic Gardens in Christchurch that is represents a Tutuai Kiwi.
Oh, true.
But they're not. There's images of like a bloke sitting on top of one, and it's probably about twice the size of the bloke. They're not that big, just to be clear. They're only about 15 centimeters in diameter. So like one of those wee soccer balls.
And they're
basically
smelly. Why are they smelly?
Well, I suppose part of the reason that they are smelly is because they're basically eating decomposing organic matter, but they are also covered in this very stinky kind of yellow browny slime that attracts flies. And that slime layer is called a gleba.
G-L-E-B-A, gleba. Great word.
See, they are aliens, right? And so when it's young and it's in the egg shape, it's called a vulva. Now, can we just be very clear? Because you can. V-O-L-V-A.
Yeah, got it.
It's the bit that encloses the young kind of mushroom part that bursts out, right? And once it is, you know how I said it pops out of the egg and then it kind of stretches itself out, it then just rolls away from the egg structure and blows around like a tumbleweed. And the reason that it's so stinky is it's using the flies that are attracted to its gleba, or its slimy layer, to spread its spores around. So, but much like, you know, kereru are really important to spread the seeds of many of our native trees around the country, the flies are the kereru to the fungi, and they are spreading the spores around so that this beautiful creature can continue its life cycle. They are really, really, really fascinating. They're pretty gross, though.
Can you eat it?
See, the answer to that question, I always think of my husband, and I think his answer to that question is always yes. Whereas I would be more inclined to probably go for a cheese sandwich at that point. So you can eat the you can eat the little egg bits, the vulvae, before they burst forth, but it's not high on the list of, you know, things that you might consider appealing. And some Māori ate the thick kind of gooey eggshell casing of the young mushroom as well. And you can roast the outside of it in the ashes of a fire or cooked in a hangi, but I imagine you'd probably be looking around for other things to eat in the first instant.
Things would have to be pretty hungry. I think you were going to share, and we're just about out of time, but a little exercise the kids can do.
Yeah, so if you are into it, if you find one, find a basket fungus in good condition, and because they deteriorate kind of over time, right? Hold your nose, because they stink, and then blow up a wee balloon inside the basket, and then tie the balloon off at that size, let the basket dry around the outside of it, and then pop the balloon, take it out, and see if your friends can guess what your net that you've created is, because you will end up with this dry net structure around where the balloon had been.
Great. So great suggestion from the Science Learning Hub. Thanks, guys. Nicola Tookie, please rate the attractiveness of the Tutai Kehua on a scale of 1 to 10.
It's a solid 6. It was probably middle of the road, but it bumps up to a 6 because it's just so weird. In fact, I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Great. 6.5, as long as you're looking at it and not smelling it. Nicola Tookie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great weekend.
Break a leg on stage.
Thanks.
Now it's time for Wallace Chapman and the panel. Have a great weekend.